gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm not really prepared, but I'm wearing my Wonder Woman shirt. And so...
So everything is right with the world.
Right. If you're just listening on the radio, the show may suck. But if you're watching, just look at the Wonder Woman boobs.
It shows off your boobs quite
thank
well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It shows that
thank
you have some.
By the way, you forgot to label my box.
What?
I have no idea now what's in my box.
What happened?
There's no labels on my box.
Oh, dear.
How am I to identify what's
you
in there?
Forget to label your box. It just fell off. Hold on. Let me fade this down.
Wait, her box fell off?
That's hard to do.
My sound effects box. What are you two all right.
This is what happens when you put us too close together.
Yeah, this is not. You were the kids in class that officially needed to be separated. Jim, Jackie.
Gotta keep them separated.
What are you guys doing in the coat press again?
Coat press? What is a coat press?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that only something we had in Catholic school in Lockport, New York?
In Buffalo.
In 1970s Flargon?
What all is right. a coat? Like a closet?
It's right. It's where you put your coats.
It sounds like
it's
a
school.
Steam press, or you know,
what
you
do
press
I,
a suit yeah. with.
What do I feel like Little House on the Prairie? What, did I go to school in like
do you press so. Something in there?
Didn't everyone go to school in a little farmhouse on
I was
the prairie
say,
like me?
In one room?
No! No, it's the closet, the coat closet. Where
well, why don't you call it a coat closet?
I don't know, because I'm old.
I grew up in California.
I went to grade school in California. We didn't have coats.
What's outside Buffalo?
Okay.
It was a substantial closet.
That's what they
for Marcus
called it
Bachman
back then.
And Lindsey Graham. What?
You don't mean any disrespect. That's what they called
right.
it back then.
Right. Jackie grew up in Miami. She certainly didn't have a coat press.
Did she just say no disrespect like I'm an elder? You know what? All right.
Well, you
know. Grandma can have another Werther's.
Don't play my old lady music. Don't.
Old lady music.
The nostalgia music.
Okay.
Okay. All right, anyway. I remember one time in the coat press, I was taking off my onion belt. Like, everybody, whoosh. Val Kilmer is going to be on the big show today. Listen, I've had very little sleep this week. Val Kilmer's on the big show and sexy liberal John Fugelsang next hour. Speaking of which, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and I in Chicago, April 13th. Tickets really flying. It's you know how big that thing is?
They go whoosh.
It's speaking of Barnes, that's like 2,800 seats. We're almost sold out. It's amazing. Hmm. It's very exciting. All right.
There's not even room for a bag of Vipers.
No. Bet you there's a big coat press there because Chicago
gets cold.
But it's full of Vipers.
Right.
And bags of glass.
Put your coat there and your bag of glass over there. All right. Linda writes, Steph, I love you in the MOOCs. You make me feel like one of the cool kids for 3 hours. Please don't stop. Oh, you are. Aww. Everybody's a cool kid. You're all cool, cool kids. Yeah. Hanging out in the coat press. Being cool kids. All right.
If you're hanging out in the coat press, the last thing you are is one of the cool kids.
You don't know.
Well.
All right. I was on CNN last night.
You were on Aaron Burnett.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
Yes.
Not everyone
for
can say
for the third night in a row.
Wow.
It was very good. Thank you.
I think they consider that a relationship. Or
are you seeing other networks?
Especially in a lesbian relationship that U-Haul has already pulled up.
Stop it. What? That is not. I'm just on her show. Anyway. Yeah, we were talking about, it's hilarious. We were talking about some, see, you need to play the role, like, okay, you'll be the liberal that's for every tax ever. I'm like, okay, so I need to be there.
Did they really tell you that?
No.
Oh.
You're the liberal that's for all the axe murderers being let out of prison immediately. Okay. Just kidding. I kid. But there was a guy that had an idea about taxing email. But it actually is not a bad idea because it wouldn't affect normal people, but it would cut down on spam.
What do you mean it wouldn't affect normal people? I'd have to pay a tax on every
email. No, it's like you get it's a guy from Berkeley, and you get 200 emails or whatever. It would cut down on spam,
so
and it would help
quota.
Fund the post office. It's not a bad idea.
Wait.
I don't like this idea at all.
No. Just because
you
said you
don't get invited
to
be on CNN, do you?
You just said that in order to get invited on CNN, didn't you?
No. I didn't believe. I'm going to find the story.
I think if they tax the interwebs, it's a great idea.
No. You know what? I'm going to find the story. You'll see. Anyway. Because I just said, well, because I said I got a lot of hate mail, so anything that, one less letter calling me a C-word a day, I'm all for. And then secondly, I used the opportunity to be on CNN to say, thank you, I do not need a penis enlargement, I'm sorry that you have tears in your eyes, I'm sorry how your trip turned out, but I'm not going to send you money, I'm happy that I won the Nigerian lottery, but I...
My uncle...
Just to prove a point, guess what I got this morning in my inbox?
Prince.
Fan mail.
Well, the subject line is, your penis is too dear to your heart to not do anything for it. Right on.
Wow.
Huh.
Not a native English speaker, I guess.
No. And they don't know their intended target.
So do you get...
anyway,
is you get text for receiving emails as well
listen,
as sending?
Listen, I will find the story.
This is awful sounding.
I will find it. Just wait there. Okay. Jeff from Norwich, Connecticut writes, Steph, I don't think SCOTUS wants to act on gay marriage. They know they can't stop it constitutionally, so they will punt and pretend as if they did something. Cowards to the end. I've been married 40 years, two kids, 20 and 22. Do the math. And why shouldn't gays suffer like I have, Jeff? Thank you, Jeff. That's very sweet. Our to inflict. You're suffering on us. All right. Oh, and then could you take out your organ for me, please?
Yes.
Thanks so much. This is on the interwebs. Wisdom from the interwebs, everybody.
That's hard to find.
Okay. It's just a bunch of pictures, and it's people protesting gay marriage because the Bible says it's wrong, people protesting the consumption of pork, people protesting shaving beards, people protesting divorce, people protesting the wearing of mixed cloth, people protesting premarital sex. Don't tell others how to live if you can't even follow your own rules. It's true. It's the thing we always talk about. You're trying to research something that I haven't had time to...
Yeah, and this is sounding worse and worse as I'm reading about it.
Well, I don't care what you think.
It says, under Cordell's framework, a bit tax, that's what he's proposing.
Right.
A bit tax.
Right.
That would impose a levy on each digital bit of information flowing through global networks. That means people could have to pony up a fee for emails, file transfers, electronic check transactions, and more.
Wow.
This is awful.
No, it is not.
How
I will get
dare that. You support something like this?
CNN hates all of you.
You turned on your computer. That'll be $1,000.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It does not work that way.
Are you sure?
Yes. Listen, don't ambush me when I don't have a story in front of me.
You're reading it right off of the internet.
Bastard.
You said the internet is...
All right.
And here's your bill. What?
What?
What are you talking about?
No, it will help fund the post office. And it
well,
it cuts down on unnecessary email.
I hope Stephanie Miller International will refund me for all the taxes I'm going to pay for the research I do for you.
Oh, my God. I had you know how many tech geeks around the country offering to set up a new email account for me with a better spam filter? And I'm like, it was a joke, okay? I'm just doing jokes. I don't thank you.
I bet you they're not for an internet tax.
Oh, why don't you just hush? Shut your pie hole. All right.
It'll cost you to shut this pie hole.
All right. Mitt Romney's back. Oh, it's like he never left.
Oh, good heavens. That's wonderful.
Don't you love this when he tries to predict? I know you have it.
Okay. All right.
I see it there. I'm getting to that.
Okay.
I love when he said it's good to live a normal life again. Oh, as if a normal life involves car elevators and dancing horses. I'm back to... Do you hate when it's like, oh, it's... I love this. I have to admit, it's nice to be able to go back to our own life going to the grocery store. Oh, you do not ever go to the grocery store yourself.
He's never gone to Ralph's.
Oh, I'm so happy to be back at the Gelson's.
There's rows of vegetably-looking things.
Oh, look at this.
This is marvelous.
Remember what was it, the Costco story?
Yeah.
Oh, you do not wear Costco shirts.
He doesn't get shirts by the three-pack at Costco.
It's poor-person fabric. It burns.
I think they didn't even sell three packs of the shirt that he was claiming to buy at Costco.
They don't.
I swear to God, someone did just the research, like, and here's the map of Costco. You go this way and turn left. So she knew. So she knows exactly what she's talking about. Well, you just go right in, and then you go to the left, and they're right down. Oh, I love them. They're really
marvelous.
Good shirts. Yes. Wow, he chose to talk to Dennis Miller on his radio show. He explained that while campaign life was exciting, not as exciting as it was for us.
Yeah.
He's fine with being outside what he called the bubble. So now he's back in. Now he's not in a rich person bubble of any kind. Now he's back in the real world.
Right. Hmm.
Got that cart with the one wheel that goes the wrong way. Damn it, Anne. I Don't you hate when you get that card at this? Shut up! You'd have never been in a supermarket ever. All right, here is Mittens.
I care. I'm very concerned about the country. I have to be honest, Dennis. I wouldn't have gotten into this if I
thought
everything was going swimmingly. And I'm still concerned about the country. And I keep looking for the most effective way for me to try and get the country on a course of remaining strong and powerful in terms of our values, our military, our soft power, our economy. I mean, the American people need a strong America. And so I'm going to keep finding ways to keep America as strong and vibrant as possible. But that's the frustration with losing, which is I don't have the influence I could have had I won that election.
Well, thank you, Captain Obvious.
He wants to keep Switzerland strong.
Yeah.
And the Cayman Islands.
Wow. I don't have the influence as if I would have won. Good. Yes, Mittens. That's absolutely correct. Yes.
He's the chairman of his son's corporation.
Yes.
You're really searching for ways to help the country there.
Hang on now.
You won't even leave the family.
We missed the first part of that. Dennis Miller said, me too.
Yeah.
Meaning he's concerned about the country. It's the reason he does a talk radio show.
Yeah. Right.
It's not about the money.
That's the reason. No, of course not. That's why, because he cares about the country.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what would America be without a Dennis Miller radio show, babe? Chachi, I ask you.
Kierkegaard.
Mep, mep, mep. Wow. Thanks, Dennis. On behalf of all of us, thanks. You give and you give. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour. I'm going to research this thing, and then I'm going to...
I already researched it for you.
Ass whooping.
And I paid my tax.
Back. You just wait there. All right, choose your weapon for me to beat you with.
Okay,
mentally.
All
right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
This is the best of Stephanie Miller?
Yep. Well, Stephanie Miller and a bunch of people that will never, ever get invited on CNN. 22 minutes
wow.
after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll.
You do realize...
Oh, sorry. No, I forgot.
Almost 3 years.
Yeah, sorry about that.
How's your 3 days going?
She wrestled with Wolf Blitzer every day. She wrestled with Wolf Blitzer every day.
We'll have to leave her there.
And Jack Cafferty.
And he wore a singlet.
Oh,
yeah.
All right, here are the fun facts.
I made myself sick with that one.
Well, I know it's not going to happen. I thought it was an interesting idea, and he's a retired nuclear scientist. And who are you, button pusher?
He's a nuclear scientist, and he's talking about tax policy?
Yeah, thanks for Fukushima.
Berkeley City Councilman. LA Times article, the most courageous politician in California, probably the nation, Berkeley City Councilman Gordon Wozniak.
Boy, it sure takes courage to propose a new tax.
An email.
That is
bravery. He proposes an email tax as part of a broader internet tax that could raise money to help keep the postal service afloat. There could be something like a bit tax, he said. I mean, a bit tax could be a cent per gigabyte, and they would make probably billions of dollars a year, and there would be a very, very tiny tax on email. Let me get through. Don't you... anyway, the LA Times writer says, he says if it keeps spammers and scammers and denying them free access to my workstation, make them pay, maybe it'll be a deterrent. If the post office were to receive the tax money, fine. It could also be used to put a laptop on every school's kid's desk or blanket the country with Wi-Fi, yada, 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 yada.
Or we can get rid of the Republican politicians trying to get rid of the post office.
There you
That's
go.
True. There's that. Anyway, he says emailing within a company would be tax-free. It'd allow everyone a certain number of untaxed private emails a month, 100, maybe 200. After that, each message would cost 1 cent up to a certain size.
Do you know how much email people send?
Well, exactly. Stop sending me email. And I do not want to join you on LinkedIn. Stop emailing me.
But why would we tax technology to fund something that's slowly...
Well, do you do nuclear fusion in your free time? No, you do not. So I just thought it's an interesting idea.
What does that make him an expert in, nuclear fusion? It doesn't make him an expert in tax policy.
You know, you two are just, you naysay everybody. Well, that's why we can't have nice things.
It's a horrible idea.
Ed in Philadelphia. I'm not talking to any of you this morning. Ed in Philadelphia.
How's it going, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
I have to tell you, though, it's all about me, not about you. And, I'm sorry about your emails, but
yes.
I do like my emails.
Yes. And by the way, and I do not need a penis enlargement, but thank you. That's exactly the right size.
And neither do I, my dear.
Oh,
wow.
Now, okay, then. Waka, waka. Go ahead, Ed.
The reason I'm calling is that, Mitt Romney is the reason why we're in this bad shape. I mean, he's taken money from going corporations, giving it to his wealthy friends, and hitting it offshore. Mm-hmm. My God, we can't keep on going. You take companies which probably aren't the greatest. I mean, they're not freaking Microsoft.
Right.
But you take that money, and you take people who are making a halfway decent living, and next thing you know, they're either on unemployment, which the rest of us pick up,
right,
or they're getting paid less money. And what does he do? He takes his money, hides it offshore, and it doesn't get taxed. If we're in trouble, it's because of people like Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
As a chemist, your official chemist of the Stephanie Miller Show, I mean, that's why we don't have any development in this country. All that money is being sucked offshore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, it is Mr. Income Inequality, mm-hmm. Mitt Romney. He's back. Mike in Fort Lauderdale, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
Well, I just wanted to say that when they send the car, the box of wine in the back, just because it's open doesn't mean you need to drink it.
I got it.
But
what?
But when you, instead of the bit tax, why don't we just do a transaction tax on Wall Street on all of their computerized transactions?
Oh.
And we'll make a whole lot more money.
Uh-huh.
Why don't we just stop giving huge tax breaks to oil companies that mm-hmm. generate huge profits?
My pom-poms are in the air for that one.
Okay, then. I mean, why tax all the little people even more? Why not tax the corporations
exactly.
who are getting all these tax breaks? That way you can generate a lot of money to help save the post office and all that.
You live in the corporatocracy.
Exactly.
Corporations.
You can put your pom-poms down. You're getting everybody stirred up.
Well, just saying.
I know how a bad girl. Jesse in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jess.
Hi there, Stephanie.
Hello.
I've been trying to get you for days now.
Oh, my goodness. Look how popular I am. Go ahead.
Yes. I have two ideas. Three, actually. First of all, I would like President Obama to be called President Obama or Mr. President. Secondly.
Instead of just Obama or.
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy.
That one.
That one.
Mr. Obama. And the second thing is, because of the people being laid off, because of the sequestration, I think that what we should do is take people that are important to us, protectors, first responders, police, that sort of people, and trade them for one of the congressmen. So
yeah.
Then they end up without a job.
Yeah.
And the idea that, God, it makes me so angry.
That's okay, Jesse. Listen, this is most of my conversations with Chris, isn't it? I'm like, why did I call you again?
Yeah.
That's kind of true.
And there was one other thing, which being 63, I seem to have forgotten.
That's okay, Jess. You call back again. That's all. That's almost every conversation with my friends. I call because All right, Andrea, North Carolina. Hey, Andrea, welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
It was so great to meet you and Chris in D.C. Unfortunately, I couldn't get through the crowd to meet Jim and Jackie, but at least I saw you. I was concerned. There was a couple callers this week that they seemed to equate civil union with getting married by the justice of the peace, and they are totally different. A civil union is only recognized in the state where you have it,
right.
And there's limited rights. My sister and her partner were married in Vermont. Well, now they live in North Carolina. They have no rights, wanted to dissolve it, they'd have to move back to Vermont.
That's right. Very good point. You should be in front of the Supreme Court. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She had too much champagne and a monkey knocked her into some quicksand. It could happen anywhere.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jackie Schechter, yes. Happy Good Friday.
Happy Good Friday to you too.
Uh-huh. All right.
What's our plan for Good Friday?
Wasn't so good for Jesus.
We're going spinning after the show. And then the other member of our throuple, Melissa Fitzgerald, and I are going to, what are we going to?
Are you
going to
go?
Yes, the seven stations of the cross.
I thought it was 13.
Something. And you just asked, are there shots at every station?
No.
Well, that would
but all I know
it...
is Martin Sheen will be there, so I'm going.
Yeah, that will make it more interesting,
yes.
I imagine.
Right.
Is this some kind of like...
It's like going back to Catholic
Passion
school.
Of the Christ kind of thing?
Right. It's going to be awesome. Very exciting.
Yeah, Mel Gibson will be over the Cat of Nine Tails, beating people.
Mel Gibson is not going to be there. Okay, 1-800
As far as you know.
Uh-oh. As long as his dad's not there.
Oh, God.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Linda in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Linda.
I would like to comment on the fight that's going on in Washington right now over same-sex marriage.
Yes.
And my solution to this problem is that they should call it a parage instead of a marriage.
A parage.
Yeah, parage with all the same rules and benefits. And after all, they are a pair. They're not too different. They're not merging something. They're just a pair of something. And then stop all this fighting just to put that through and everybody
do you mean,
would know.
When you say merge, are you talking about intercourse?
Well, no, I'm not talking about intercourse at all. I'm talking about two different sexes.
Right.
Right, the merging of two lives. That can go on between two same-sex people or two opposite-sex people.
But I say call it a parry.
All right.
And get over all these people that say, oh, we're not like them. And in years to come, it'll just become common. They'll just say... Hey, is your mother a parent? Do you have a parent or a marriage?
Right.
Or it won't even make any difference.
All right. Thank you, Linda.
Or cartridge in a parent tree.
Kind of clunky.
Parage.
Right. But that makes it different than a marriage, though. That's not
like
what
if I married Shirley
want.
Jones, it would be a, I don't know, never mind. A parage in a partridge tree, something. Mind. I don't know. Listen, Jim started it, and I just,
that
I'm
was
too
doughy.
Tired.
That was really doughy.
Getting back to this internet tax thing, Chris from Yankton says, forget the ill-conceived bit-byte tax proposed by Scientist Boy in Berkeley. The tax we need is a financial transaction tax. Every time a trade occurs on Wall Street, there should be a tiny tax, a penny or less, that would raise tons of money and would discourage financial speculation, automated trading programs, and general gambling on Wall Street.
What did he call him? Scientist Boy?
Scientist Boy.
That's awesome.
Astro Boy.
Alex in Flint, Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Alex.
Hello, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
This Mitt Romney thing. You know, if he's so worried about the country, why don't he dish out some of that money he's got?
There you go.
Take it back from the Cayman Islands and let it be taxed.
That's right. What did we learn as kids in school? Sharing.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. Private school might be different.
Exactly.
I'm not going to share with those moochers.
Yeah.
Who do you think I am?
God, I missed that authentic laugh of his. Henry in New York. Hi, Henry. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Calling about the proposed internet tax. When you think about it, I could compare it to the minuscule amount of money that we pay on our phone bills called the universal connectivity fee, which in effect all those dollars over the years have funded the extension of broadband internet to the rural areas of this country, which has been a good thing.
Right.
So maybe this kind of minuscule tax on internet transmissions could be used to fund the post office problems,
yep.
Because what's happening behind the scenes, of course, is that FedEx and UPS are the ones who've been lobbying the Republicans to stall the reform,
yeah.
Because they're looking to take over the post office.
Exactly. It's part of their privatize everything
and
thing.
People
Thank
in
you.
Rural areas wouldn't get their medicine.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I was going to say this for a news update, but the reason the U.S. U.S. Postal Service has problems is because Congress passed a mandate back in 2006 that said it has to pre-fund retirees' health benefits for the next 75 years within a decade.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're losing money. So they need Congress to repeal that mandate and overhaul the agency. It is lobbying, of course, I'm sure, by private entities, but at the same time, it's this really silly congressional mandate that's bankrupting the Postal Service.
When has Congress ever done anything silly? So unusual. Tom in Chapel Hill, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I just wanted to chew out Jackie Schechner.
Oh, good. Please have at it.
Well, basically, it was about the post office, and it's old and tired. But she's getting most of her if she ever orders from Amazon.com or anything like that,
right.
It's coming through the post office. It's not coming through UPS or FedEx. I mean, I work for a little university, and we're getting hundreds of packages a day. I mean,
right.
And basically, it's Tom DeLay's poison pill that he put in 2006.
Right. Well, that's what she was just saying.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So. All right. Well, all right. Fine. I'm just going to let him turn on you anyway.
I feel
chewed.
Also,
just for other reasons.
I feel chewed.
Also, USPS and FedEx and UPS contract with each other on all kinds of things. They deliver. They can deliver part of a delivery or all of a delivery or whatever. So they're all intertwined.
Look, we don't call it snail mail because it's innovative.
Right.
Right. So it's email versus snail mail, and I don't think you should tax email in order to fund snail mail. I think there's other ways to do it.
Right. We pay for our internet connection, you know, and it shouldn't have a tax on top of that.
No, I totally agree.
Last night's topic on CNN, I had to I had to debate David Brum.
Oh.
But I swear to God, there's this just blame Obama for everything thing, and even the theme of the segment was, isn't the president to blame for not getting anything done on gun stuff? I'm like, no. He's not.
He's been in the lead on this.
Because he spoke about it again yesterday, and it's like, oh, is he too late, and oh, he shouldn't have done it. It's like, what? Once again, like, here we are. What did
CNN tell you to say?
They did not tell me to say anything. I'm, as you know, a well-known Obama apologist, and I was happy. He couldn't have been more forceful about it in the State of the Union. He has, he again spoke about it yesterday, so we've cried enough. And once again, here we are, Jackie, like, public option. It's these conservadems. It's not even just
dog,
Republicans.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm like, what? How can something have 92% approval rating that we get done? What has that? Puppies?
Well, I'm sure. Harry,
free money.
Be forceful and make sure that the right thing is done.
Right. The president yesterday.
Why wouldn't we want to close the loophole that allows as many as 40% of all gun purchases to take place without a background check?
Tyranny! Redcoats!
He said the gun control votes in the Senate next month, the best chance in more than a decade to reduce gun violence. He said the powerful foes of gun control hope Americans will forget the shock of the school shootings in Newtown. He said people should not get squishy because time has passed. He said, shame on us if we've forgotten. This is the president yesterday.
Shame on us if we've forgotten. I haven't forgotten those kids.
Yeah. I mean, what more is it going to take? We were saying yesterday, who pled guilty? And we were like, which one's he? Oh,
right.
He's the movie theater guy in Colorado. The president yesterday.
Notion that 2 months or 3 months after something as horrific as what happened in Newtown happens? And we've moved on to other things? That's not who we are.
I mean, here we go again. They literally, it's this thing over and over again about why won't the president lead? Oh, the president's leading too much. I mean, this is what David Frum is saying. Oh, the problem is him injecting himself in it in the first place, meaning, okay, so if anything the president's for, they're going to reflexively be against, so he shouldn't say anything? I mean, how does that make any sense? The president yesterday.
None of these ideas should be controversial. Why wouldn't we want to make it more difficult for a dangerous person to get his or her hand on a gun?
Tyranny! Redcoats! Second Amendment! Light to arm bears!
That's the thing, they aren't controversial. 80% of Republicans are for it, and we can't get it done.
Right.
I mean, that's what's the vice president yesterday.
I think we're on the verge of getting a serious, thorough, universal background check system in place, and it will, emphasize, it will save lives.
Yeah, the assault weapons ban saved lives for a while.
Yes.
And then gun violence went back
tripled,
up again.
Tripled, once if you're keeping track. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I hate when people go, we don't really know what the effect is.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
There are numbers.
Yes. Yeah. Josh Earnest, White House Deputy Press Secretary.
The president remains firmly behind the range of legislative proposals that he offered up in mid-January when he gave some remarks on this issue.
See, he's leading too much. He's injecting himself into the conversation. See?
He's not leading enough too much.
Right.
God. He's too much of not enough. Muchly less.
Oh, it's the Tea Party darling, Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas.
They want to ban some 4 million guns that law-abiding Americans have chosen to use to protect their homes.
Okay. Let's go to a Scott.
Protect their homes from, you know, SEAL Team 6.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to skydive into your house any minute now.
Right. Scott in Iowa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Scott.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say this. I'm from Iowa, and I am so embarrassed from our wacko representative, Steve King, bad-mouthing the president's kids on vacation in Jamaica. Leave the president's kids alone.
Yep. Yeah.
He's embarrassing the whole state of Iowa.
Yes. Well, he was going to say he's had a long history of that, hasn't he?
Oh, it's ridiculous anymore.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Now they're trying to soften their image on immigration reform. Isn't he the one? One of the things he first got famous for is saying we should electrify the fence because it works for his farm animals.
Yes, for his cattle.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff he's been saying since he got reelected is just pathetic anymore.
Yep. Yep.
Him and a bunch of the tea parties, I should say, you know it?
Yep. Don't worry about it. You make up for it,
well,
Scott.
He's stunning, all right.
He's stunning.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
every time
stunning.
He speaks,
with electrical
I say,
fence.
Right. I say that was stunning.
Stunningly dumb.
Yes. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller. Playing all the hits of the 70s and 80s. And today.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by TheraBreath Mouthwash and Toothpaste. Nothing works faster, lasts longer at knocking out bad breath than TheraBreath. TheraBreath Mouthwash and Toothpaste available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jackie, did you see this? Former Steubenville NAACP leader, alleged victim was drunk and asking to get raped.
Are we really going back to this asking for it thing?
Wow. The former head of the Steubenville chapter of the NAACP under fire after he reportedly told a conservative publication a 16-year-old rape survivor was drunk and willing to have sex.
Oh.
Yeah. Royal Mayo is his name. He refers to her as the alleged victim. He said they're alleging she got raped. She's acknowledging she wanted to leave with Trent. So what, agreeing to leave with someone is the same thing as agreeing to be raped?
Well,
really?
And also, she's not the alleged victim anymore. They were convicted,
yes,
so,
convicted.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, so because you wanted to leave with someone, even if you're unconscious, that means you're, Okay. Mayo further questions the girl's behavior that evening, asking, she said her mother brought her to the party at 3 o'clock with a bottle of vodka. Where did you get it, young lady? You brought it from home? Got vodka in your house? Asking for it. Really?
The punishment for vodka is rape. I guess,
yes, apparently. That's
it's disturbing.
Okay, let's go to Alan in Wisconsin. Hi, Alan. Welcome.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Last night, within 10 or 15 minutes, I received phone calls from Marco Rubio and Rand Paul.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So am I. And the second call, they said, first it was a recording, and then it said, punch one if you want to donate. So I punched one, and then got some patriotic music. I wanted to stand up and salute, you know. But then I debated the guy about I live in Wisconsin. Why do I want to donate money to Rand Paul? And he said, well, he's going to run for president to defeat Obama's liberal agenda.
Oh.
I said, well, what's up with that? What's the agenda? And he said, well, gun control. We argued about that. And I said, all we want is background checks, et cetera, et cetera. I argued with him for about 5 minutes. And he says, well, can you give $100 or $200? I said, no, I can't. I think Rand Paul's an idiot. So then he said, well, then can you give
$25?
Oh, my God.
That's hilarious. So you just teased him by punching one just so you could debate him.
Yes, I did.
Awesome.
I've done that in the past, too. I get these calls from the NRA, and I get blasted with calls. I don't know why,
but I live
in a rural area in Wisconsin. But, yeah, I debated him for about five, and he was very, nice about debating. He answered my questions, but I disagree with everything he said. It was really funny that they still – ask for money after all that.
Well, you got to give him points for persistence there. He's an idiot. All right, well, how about a quarter then? All right. It was
how about I pay you not to call him an idiot?
Right.
Doug in St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, Doug, welcome.
Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
Okay. I am a 29-year employee at the post office, and I'm here right now looking out at the flat sorters that we have and the low cost and all these other machines we have to deliver mail. My basic point is this, is if you look at the rates that FedEx and UPS charge for delivering packages, and we do final destination point drop for them as well.
Right.
But if you look at those, and you were to put that on every magazine and periodical that you get in the mail, you drive the publishing industry, which is a $1 trillion a year industry, out of business. It'd be instantaneous. They would not be able to afford having UPS and FedEx try to deliver their periodicals to people.
Yep.
There's also the fact that when it was the latest regulations that were put in were under the Bush administration, well, the lobbyists were up there writing the rules for the post office. That's why we're in the trouble we're in. Mm-hmm. They were expecting to be able to use first-class postage to subsidize business postage. And now that the first class has dropped off, that's the real bane of the problem right there, is that the first class has dropped off and it can't subsidize businesses. You're going to end up with a situation like it was in the 1930s under Roosevelt and in the 1900s under Teddy, where these smaller businesses are going to be run out of business by these mega corporations, and it's not until these businesses wise up to what's going on and go in there and seek redress with the government that this situation is going to change.
Yep.
Because I'm tired of going to down the street and everything being the same. It's all the same Applebee's, the same McDonald's, the same Hardee's, and these people used to have small businesses that could provide for them and their family and their employees. And now these folks are limited to $11 an hour. I don't care how far up the organizational change you go.
Yep. No, all good points. All good
corporations
points.
Corporations über alles.
Well, it's not like lawmakers aren't getting anything done, Jim. Saving the post office, creating jobs, stuff like that. Gawker brings us a story. Crisis averted when Tennessee lawmakers discover a Muslim foot bath is actually just a mop sink.
Oh,
there's a little bit of a crisis for a moment.
Muslim foot bath?
Uh-huh. The Tennessee legislature dodged a potential firestorm when lawmakers were able to come together and reassure one another that a possible Muslim foot bath was in fact just a sink for mops.
So you can only wash Muslim feet in it.
Yes. It's very scary.
So if one of your feet is Hindu, then, well...
Was Atlas Juggs on this?
Probably.
Creeping Sharia?
Pamela Geller?
Uh-huh. Sure. Sink pictured above. Indeed, it's on the floor, the perfect level for a Muslim looking to wash his feet. Thankfully, however, everyone angry that the state of Tennessee might be nice to Muslims relaxed today when state officials clarified the sink was a place for custodians to wash their
Gawker says his feet washed at some point.
Another victory against dirty floors and the scourge of creeping Sharia. So everybody can relax.
Creeping Old Testament.
Right. Back to what you were doing. Everything's fine now.
Sharia is basically Old Testament law. That's all it is.
Let's go to Tenant in Philly. Hey, Tenant, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Here's something to think about, okay? If we can stop planes that have been falling out of the sky and tainted meat that's affecting the public until we can get these things solved, here's a suggestion I think that Obama can do, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's an executive order, but, okay, it's like they're little kids. Okay, no gun sales, no bullet sales, only to law enforcement and military. You little boys, sit down to the table, get this solved, and then once we solve this, you can have your toys.
Yeah. I was reading in the, Jared Loughner.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the, he went that morning to a store and, you know, looking to buy a lot more ammo. And thank God there was just one guy that said he told me that he didn't have them because he said I wasn't going to give this guy any ammo. There were so many people that knew he was off and couldn't do anything. And you go, you know, that's just one guy that at least had the common sense to just go, we don't have those kind of bullets. He was in a hurry and wild-eyed and, look at the guy.
But you can't depend on every gun store owner person to make a judgment like
that. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like just one guy exercising some common sense, and you go, did that save even just a few lives? Did he not have as much ammo as he might have otherwise had?
Yes.
I mean, it's, you know. Anyway, I know this is that's what's sad. I think Bill Maher said it last week.
I wouldn't sell a
Democrats
sandwich to Jared Loughner.
Yeah,
let alone ammunition.
Yeah, I mean Bill Maher was saying we're the party Democrats. We're the party the reloading. Like that's the best we can do on gun control is like at least we're trying to get teensy tiny little common sense measures done. 58 minutes after the hour, sexy liberal John Fugelsang next hour. Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's Friday, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, check it out. You can email us all, their executive producer, Chris Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Jody in Chicago did, about sexy liberal. Steph, I was listening to your show yesterday and was impressed with what a great friend you are. Why, thank you, Jody. You've inspired me to do a little more for my friends, so I will work on that. Aw, that's so sweet.
Aww.
I'm a little borderline creepy, though, Jody, a little borderline creepy.
She shops at Overkill.com.
Yes, I do. Thank you. Also, I'll be going to my second Sexy Liberal show in Chicago next month. Last year, I took my 72-year-old Republican mom, and she really enjoyed the show. If you'd like to give an old Republican lady a thrill, we're sitting pretty close to the stage. Write this down, seats BB, row BB, seats 310 and 312.
Mm. Okay.
Amazing.
Sure.
And yes, she answers to old Republican lady. So I'll be giving her a shout-out from the stage.
All right.
As will, I think, other sexy liberals. In honor of Good Friday, my personal comedy Jesus, John Fugelsang.
Oh, thank you. I feel like I've been dead for 3 days, too. Thank you.
Oh,
hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
Happy Good Friday. Happy Good Friday, and welcome back from your vacation, you guys.
Thank you.
I know you've been back for a week, but I've been wanting to say that.
Happy Easter weekend.
Thank you, and to you as well. What a great Easter week for the LBGT world. You think about death and rebirth. This is the week, man.
I
it's
know.
Been amazing.
We've had people quoting you on the show all week because nobody speaks as eloquently about this whole issue and from a biblical point of even. But when you have a week, John, when even Bill O'Reilly said all they've got is Bible thumping on the other side.
In a week when Rush Limbaugh, a guy who paid a married gay man $5 million to sing at his own fourth wedding, is screaming about the perils of gay marriage.
Oh, well, funny you should mention that. Here it is.
This issue is lost. I don't care what the Supreme Court does. This is now inevitable. And it's inevitable because we lost the language on this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I maintain to you that we lost the issue when we started allowing the word marriage to be bastardized and redefined by simply adding words to it. Because marriage is one thing.
He's come a long way, hasn't he?
Yeah. I was going to say
he's bastardized it four times.
Yeah. Lest you think that he's doing the right thing. No, he's just admitting they lost.
No,
all.
He's conceding.
He's
not endorsing. Yes, he's still very bigoted. And, of course, the great thing about Rush is he's not a religious man or a faithful man. He's not using any of these completely BS Bible arguments. And, by the way, they're all BS. Every night this week on Viewpoint, I've done a different segment debunking another Bible verse that's used to justify homophobia. Rush isn't a religious man. He's godless. He just hates.
Yeah, well, John, and I, again, as many times as this has come up, I have not had one Christian answer me when we talk about the other stuff in the Old Testament. Why?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because there is no other. It's the same reason for DOMA. There's nothing behind it except animus toward gays or icky. That's why.
Exactly.
Because that's
exactly.
The one thing in the Bible I agree with. I don't, the shellfish, whatever, two kinds of cloth, forget that.
Yep.
Right?
And, I talk about it in your show, too, Steph, on stage. I talk about a lot in my act about how Sodom and Gomorrah is really about the public gang rape of angels. Mm-hmm. I do a whole bit on it and how it's got nothing to do with being gay. And all the passages in the New Testament people throw at you, Matthew 19, it's not Jesus coming out against gay marriage. He's coming out against straight divorce because men used to be able to kick their wives to the curb when they got bored of them. That's Jesus being a feminist. They got nothing in the Bible anywhere that goes against, that says it's wrong to be a consenting adult in a same-sex relationship.
I love that we actually, Elena Kagan got gasps when she, but she read from the actual, you know, House of Representatives thing when they passed DOMA, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it literally basically said, yes, we don't like it. We're doing this to show moral disapproval.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Aren't those audio tapes great to know which Supreme Court justices are wonderful humans and which are just D-bags?
I think
so
we knew already.
Refreshing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't wait to see Clarence Thomas, a man who's in interracial marriage, come out against marriage equality.
Yeah. I know. It's stunning. Yeah, Elena Kagan read from the actual House report from when it passed the law in 1996, which summarized DOMA's entire legal underpinning, and it said, Congress decided to reflect and honor a collective moral judgment to express moral disapproval of homosexuality. And according to people in the room, John, there were gasps and even laughter, because it was a gotcha moment.
It was ludicrous. And you know, Steph, one of the things that we've been talking about on my show all week is this false equivalency argument our Republican friends are throwing at you, saying, well, Bill Clinton was also against it. You're going to call him a bigot? Barack Obama was against it. You call him a bigot, too? I guess they're bigots because they evolved. No. Bill Clinton and Barack Obama were always friends to the LGBT community. Bill Clinton risked his entire first term to let gays serve openly and then finally capitulated into Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Bill Clinton was the first presidential candidate to ever reach out to gays in his campaign. And Bill Clinton only signed DOMA because he was forced to. And the irony of that compromise, and DOMA's bad, and it was wrong to do, but if Bill Clinton had done the right thing and vetoed it, you might have had Bob Dole become president in 1997.
Yeah.
It was
in
a re-election year, they forced Clinton into a corner, and by doing it, he helped LGBT Americans by keeping Dole out of the White House.
Yeah.
So don't forget it.
So, and don't you love that now it's a wedge issue on our side in
yes.
that amount of time and that for civil rights movement? I mean, Salon has a great piece. They talk about their argument boils down to this. Gay people are gross. Let's put off anything suggesting otherwise for as long as we can. Yeah.
And can I say, if you discriminate against any other Americans as a Christian, you suck at being Christian and you suck at being an American. But even more, if you're one of these Christians who thinks that gay marriage is going to lead to bestiality, you're not a Christian. You're just a guy who thinks way too much about bestiality.
Exactly. You know, and Chris was talking about how powerful, I'm forgetting the DOMA,
the
lesbian.
Guy from that thing.
Edie Windsor. Yes,
Edie Windsor. Yes.
Sorry. But
isn't
she
amazing?
No, but I mean, we were saying that you can't compete with that human. We were like, it's a tax that Republicans love now. It's a gay tax. Now it's okay.
Exactly.
Now the estate tax is fine.
And she was married to her partner in Canada, wasn't legal here. And if she'd been married to a man, she wouldn't have been hit with a $300,000 tax bill.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's discrimination. It's just pure discrimination. And again, it's an oversight. You know, we're working the kinks out. And she was just so heroic and so beautiful. Great story.
And just in all the human moments, Salon also points out another great moment. Paul Clement defending DOMA. Nothing Clement could say can compete with Verrilli talking about, quote, the spouse of a soldier killed in the line of duty cannot receive the dignity and solace of an official notification of next of kin. I mean, that almost sums up the entire argument there, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what's great is that so many conservatives are realizing this is a conservative issue. You know, it's an issue where liberal morality and conservative morality can both intersect. Because if you're conservative, if you believe in private individual rights and the government not telling you what you can do, you support marriage equality, period.
It's kind of hilarious. He should have just said, why do you guys hate the troops so much and love the estate tax so much?
Yeah.
Why are you hitting yourselves, Republicans? Salon goes on to, there was one exchange with John Roberts that I thought was really particularly disturbing. Salon writes, some of the justices were particularly disoriented with the velocity of change. I mean, they really do, like John Roberts is gay marriage is newer than cell phones and the internet, which are scary enough. right?
You believe that?
Yeah, but other
not
cultures,
new in other countries.
Other cultures have had same-sex marriage, and that predated cell phones and television and radio.
So John Roberts said, I suppose the sea change has a lot to do with the political force and effectiveness of people representing, supporting your side of the case, he asked Kaplan, the attorney. Kaplan rejected that. She said, I think the sea change has to do with an understanding that there is no difference. There was fundamental difference that could justify this kind of categorical discrimination between gay couples and straight couples. Roberts pressed on. Echoing the argument made in Clement's brief that there was no way gay people could be discriminated against anyway because some of them are rich and have political power.
What?
As far as I can tell, political figures are falling over themselves to endorse your side of the case. said John Roberts.
Yeah. From the guys who think millionaires are discriminated against.
Yeah. Kaplan said, to flip the language of the House report, Mr. Chief Justice, I think it comes from a moral understanding today that gay people are no different and that gay married couples' relationships are not significantly different from relationships of straight married people. She added, I don't believe that societal understanding came strictly through political power.
Which John Roberts should know about it from his vacationing on Fire Island.
Right, in that fabulous sweater. Well, John, obviously everybody has a take, and, you know, we're told on one side don't read too much into oral arguments, but what's your sense of what's going to happen?
You know, the sense of what's going to happen is, in the case of Prop 8, you know, all they have to do is nothing, and we win. I mean, that's it. You know, when it comes to Prop 8, if the Supreme Court does nothing on it,
right,
that means that the overturning stands. And the fact
bad
that
news
the state
for Jackie
Schechner,
because she has to marry me.
Well, yeah, and keep in mind,
getting very nervous.
When they had an anti-gay marriage ballot initiative back in 2000, it passed by a rather large, I think 20%, when it happened in 2008, and I'll never forget it, Steph, because I was at your house that night.
Yeah.
The night that Barack Obama became elected president, you let me run downstairs because while all the beautiful lesbians were celebrating upstairs, I was downstairs trying to find out about Prop 8 in your basement on the internet.
I remember.
And it barely passed, and the fact is the state of California, both under the last Republican governor and the current one, didn't believe in it, and California didn't send anyone to make its case. These are a couple of volunteer anti-gay hate groups that are going before the Supreme Court, and as you could tell on Tuesday, Scalia had to actually coach them. They were so not prepared. So Prop 8
dead,
no matter
what. You're right. That was such a moment, because it was such a night of elation. I remember that. Yes, we can. Oh, not all of us? Not, huh? Oh. Not the gays? We'll be left
exactly.
behind? Exactly.
Okay. And, you know, Doma's dead. It doesn't matter. Even if the Supreme Court upholds it, it's dead. And we all know it's dead. This week, you saw so many Democrats and Republicans getting into line, getting on the right side of decency and the right side of history. And 70% of Americans under 30 have no problem with gay marriage. So, sorry, haters. You get to be dinosaurs in your own lifetime.
Haters gonna hate.
Everybody walk a dinosaur. Mm-hmm. You know, John, it's interesting, though. I'm reading it. You know, every day you read a new analysis of it from somebody. And what you said, I mean, that obviously seems to be the consensus. We will have gay marriage in California no matter what. But some of this is a little troubling. It says the high court's ruling is likely to allow same-sex marriage to resume in California. This is obviously 4 years after we had it and it was taken away, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
How that happens and how long it would take remain open to interpretation, though, according to this story. There are a range of possibilities. Some experts say a court decision expected in June would allow marriages to resume statewide soon afterward, while others argue a ruling could be limited and only affect the original two plaintiffs and residents of the counties where they live.
Hmm.
I mean, to talk about, if you know what I mean, basic unfairness again?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and again, but you know what? It's going to keep on being unfair until it's all, you know, stamped out. We can just start having office pools now deciding which will be the last state to recognize marriage equality. I'm guessing Alabama over Mississippi.
Really?
I think Texas will be way ahead.
I'm doing my brackets, and I'm going with Mississippi.
Yeah.
Well, it's over, you know, it's over, and it's all because of the people. And I did a commentary on this last night on the show, because I think it's really fitting this happened during Easter week. When you think about it, you know, we've never seen this swift and advancement of civil rights for a minority group in human history. And it all came about because of a plague. You know, when AIDS hit, if you were born in the 90s or later, you have no memory of what it was like when politicians wouldn't talk about it, doctors and scientists were begging for funding, your friends were dying, guys you kind of casually knew were dying, every week you heard more people were dying, and the media was flipping out, people said you could catch it through a toilet seat. Stephanie, when I was in my early 20s, I did an AIDS walk, my first time, and my two best friends from childhood withdrew their pledges that they had promised me once they heard that the proceeds went to gay men's health crisis. For moral reasons, they couldn't do it. Two of my best friends.
No.
And this is, it was very common. I wasn't surprised that it happened. It's unthinkable today. But you know what? The people, it was the gay community that didn't wait, that got organized, and people started coming out of the closet. Celebrities did it. Regular people did it.
Yep.
And more Americans realized they didn't hate gay people. They didn't know the people in their lives who were. And then you see in 2012, we get the first openly gay congressman elected, the first openly bisexual congresswoman elected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The president of the United States comes out in favor of marriage equality, and you know they focus group that through the roof. They knew America was ready for it.
Yeah.
And this all happened, all this good happened because of a plague. And that's the story of Easter.
Yeah.
It's suffering, it's death, and it's beautiful rebirth. You don't have to believe in any of it literally to see it playing out right before us in
Listen,
this beautiful
historic week. We've talked about this many times, but you know my high school boyfriend died of AIDS. And so you're right, a lot of us were affected so personally and emotionally by it. And I remember him telling me, good friends of his said, you know, you've got AIDS. What are you, F word for gay man.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. And no one's going to talk about it this week, but the fact is that this stuff would not be going before the Supreme Court were it not for ACT UP, were it not for the AIDS activists of the 80s, were it not for artists like Larry Kramer and plays like The Normal Heart and As Is, and movies like Longtime Companion, like the people who actually came out and put their lives on the line, and the people who just didn't wait. The activists and the people who cared, and they are heroes of marriage equality.
Frank Rich, one of our other heroes, wrote it's such an amazing piece that has always stuck with me. You can Google it, I'm sure, but it's called Angels in America that he wrote in the New York Times, talking exactly about that, John, about the really brave people that he was saying when we were shamefully letting people die in the shadows, and the people in the early movement that were brave and led.
Started with the artists,
and it's funny
they
say that
out of the dark.
Exactly, and it's funny you say that too. Before break, as I just had breakfast, you know, here on Good Friday, and I looked over, and who's sitting two tables away from me? But Tony Kushner, who wrote Angels in America. And wrote Lincoln, of course, in Munich. And, like, I just thought, wow, I've been writing about this issue all week. And it just kind of felt like a special kind of blessing or coincidence or God wink or whatever you want to believe in, to see, like, you know, yes, it was the artists who did it. And it was the regular people who knew they could lose their jobs if they came out, and they did it anyway.
You got a bagel and a God wink this morning. Good for you. Breakfast of champions.
I
all right,
cream
21.
Cheese with my God wink.
21 minutes after the hour. Right
and a
back.
Schmear.
Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, I like her.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Right. You're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say. Right, you're bloody well right. You know you got a right to say.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour. Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller Flavin.
Whatever.
So before they were super tramp, were they just tramp?
Yeah.
Then they got super.
They were not so super.
And they got trampier. Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Richard in New Hampshire, you're on with John and Company. Hi, Richard.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, the Senator Portman took his child to be gay, changed his mind about gay marriage.
Right.
Not exactly.
Should we extrapolate from that he needs to have his kid shot in order to change his mind on gun control?
Mm. Well, you know, John, I mean, it's interesting. A lot of people are making that point about why does it have to happen to somebody personally to change their heart on something?
You can't put yourself in someone else's shoes at all, can you? It's got to be someone you know. Well, you know what? I would like his son to come out as a poor climate change scientist. that would be the best thing in the world if that could happen. And you know what?
But John,
else?
You alluded Rob to Portman, it, but it's the polling too. I'm sorry, but
it is the polling because Rob Portman's a big fake, and I'm going to tell you why. It's one thing to come out in favor of gay marriage, but then you got to go back and you got to apologize for the stuff you did, okay? You got to say, I was wrong to fight for a constitutional amendment to ban it. Rob Portman also fought to prevent gay couples from being allowed to adopt children.
Right.
He has to come
I'm
out and say that was wrong.
Right, I'm sorry for all the other gay people I hurt, other than my son.
And then
they
got to come out and apologize for calling John Kerry a flip-flopper. And also, Rob Portman, by the way, his son came out 2 years ago. Okay, keep this in mind. His son came out to him 2 years ago, and during that time, he has still voted for anti-gay measures. It's only once he saw the polls in his own state go above 50% that he became so brave. He's getting a lot of credit he doesn't deserve.
Yeah,
and,
John, people have pointed that out. The timing is interesting because you didn't know that. They made it sound like he just found out
a
couple
of
days
ago.
It's great
that he's saying the right thing, and I'd like to see him be an advocate for it, but there's a few things he has to clarify now in terms of his morality. Does he still believe that gay people shouldn't be allowed to adopt kids? I mean, and he needs to come out and say that that was wrong. He really does.
Yep.
That's what makes a difference.
Speaking of the gun issue, Jim in Minneapolis. Hi, Jim.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, my favorite people in the world are Stephanie Miller.
Thank you.
Jackie Schechner.
Yes.
Jim LeBeau. Jim and Chris and John Fugelsang and Rachel Maddow.
There you
okay.
go.
Right on.
That's a group.
And you should have all of us in bed at once, too. It's amazing.
Right? Well, remember that one time? Oh.
I left out Hal Sparks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Well, he wasn't there.
Comment.
He's never been left out of any orgy ever, trust me. But go ahead, Jim.
I had a comment about the gun safety and the gun hawks in America. And it is, when you really need a gun, my father was a World War II veteran. And when he came home, he taught my brother and I. We're from Chicago originally, born and raised. And he shared this wisdom with us. When you really need a gun, often none is available. And when you have one and use it, you often regret it. And if you don't regret it and you have one, you look for a reason to use it. And I thought that this was very appropriate for the arguments that I've been hearing on the television about the Second Amendment. They treat it like it's the Second Commandment, when actually the Second Commandment is to love your neighbor.
Yeah. There you go.
Right.
Not shooting.
That's the first commandment.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God.
Stephanie Miller.
Another pansexual, alcoholic, non-human.
That is the Stephanie Miller Show,
Fanny
34.
Makes a man think things over.
Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. John, did you hear this story? Jackie was
What's
mentioning this earlier.
You heard the new Bowie album, by the way?
No, I haven't yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Really
came out last week. He's 66. You were just playing him. So
very good.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Very
wow.
good.
Thank
yeah,
you.
It's like 80s Bowie. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a musicologist and ecclesiastical mook. John
you play such good stuff, I just can't keep my mouth shut.
Aww. Thank you. The president, by the way, talking about immigration yesterday.
They're paying attention to border security. They are creating a pathway for people to earn their citizenship. And my expectation is that we'll actually see a bill on the floor of the Senate next month.
As you know, after they got, would they get 30% of the vote, mm-hmm. the Latino vote in the presidential election, the mm-hmm. RNC has called for candidates and lawmakers to soften their tone when discussing immigration. So Don Young, a helper,
yeah.
Republican Ooh, Don yeah. Young
Isn't
of Alaska,
what a guy.
Referred to Hispanic workers as wetbacks in a
yep.
interview.
Don
he said,
Young's
my
way.
Father had a ranch. We used to have 50, 60 wetbacks to pick tomatoes.
Oh.
He apologized, of course, for using the phrase, saying he meant no disrespect.
Of course not.
To the oversensitive wetbacks.
Keep talking, Don Young. Oh. Keep talking. Let's have Sarah Palin defend that or refudiate it.
Also to you betcha.
Don't you love that she had to make a video redeclaring her relevance? And there's nothing that says
that
you're more relevant than that.
Right.
Yeah, it's really great to know where all your money you're sending to Sarah PAC is actually going. It's for your money to go to Sarah PAC for her to make videos about how relevant Sarah PAC is.
Right.
If you gave her your money.
Right, and what's wrong with that? Charles in New Hampshire, you're on with John. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just real quick on the gay situation.
Uh-oh. It's a situation now? Are we having a gay situation?
Well, I had a gay situation once in college.
Well, yeah. We are all, regardless of your race, color, creed, and everything, aren't we all human beings? Can't we get past this and everything?
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, okay, now my first reason I was calling is why don't any of you journalists and the rest of the journalists
thank you
just say the truth.
It's got a promotion.
The reason is the NRA gives so much money to all these politicians, gun control ain't never going to change.
We've said that.
Yeah.
We've
said it a lot.
Yeah, and we're not journalists, sir. How dare you? Journalists aren't able to say that because journalists are working in a world of false equivalency where if you tell the truth, it might offend some potential viewers and advertisers don't like
we'll
it.
We'll have to leave it there.
You know, there's a good piece he might want to read. My new favorite, Michael Tomasky in the Daily Beast.
He's your boyfriend.
Hey,
I want to kiss him and date him. Well,
he's a fellow journalist. Steph, he's a regular on my show. Maybe that'll entice you on. If I can get you and Tomasky together, will you do my show?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you and Tomasky together.
Okay. The headline is the NRA can still lose, is what he's writing. He said, yes, an assault weapons ban is dead, but argues Michael Tomasky, a decent gun bill still stands a chance of passage, provided the five red state Democrats do the right thing. That's the whole crux of this, isn't it? This is not just Republicans.
It's not. Yeah. No, Democrats are a big problem here. And you can look right to Mr. Harry Reid, the man who killed the filibuster. He's now complaining, the filibuster reform that he's now wishing he hadn't done. And it's really sad. Harry Reid wants to be a senator in his 80s so badly, he's willing to put your kid's life on the line. And I really mean it. Harry Reid is the one who's responsible for killing the assault weapons ban. All the president asked for in his State of the Union address, bring it to the floor for a vote. And Harry Reid made sure it wouldn't happen because he doesn't want to be challenged by another Sharon Angle in an NRA powerful state because he wants to still be a senator in his 80s.
What show was he on that made me crazy? Was it, two or three weeks ago? And he was like, well, I didn't vote for the assault weapons ban last time. because it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yep, didn't make sense for a guy in Nevada who depends on NRA money.
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
But it's like the majority, but this is the, you know, I'll respect when some of these high-profile Democrats can come out and say that the NRA does not represent gun owners. They represent the gun manufacturers. Mm-hmm. The only people who've made profits since Newtown are the NRA and the gun owners. And the 80% of NRA members support background checks. And this is where the Democrats blow it. And I love my Democrats, but you know it. If they had gone in health care and gone for single payer and settled on a public option, that would have been a great compromise. Instead, they compromise first. Same thing here. They're not even fighting for the assault weapons ban, and they would look great with voters if they did it. But Harry Reid's afraid. He forgets that people don't like dead kids. It's just awful.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was glad they released all the weapons that Adam Lanza had in his house, by the way, yesterday. I thought that was terrific. I thought it was great for everyone to know that this is what he had legally, this law-abiding gun owner, until the day he wasn't, had an arsenal, military hardware in his house.
Did you read, I mean, just again, these just the numbers, 154-bullet barrage that took less than 5 minutes.
He was dead 5 minutes after walking into the building. But if he'd had to reload, if he didn't have 30-round capacity, there might have been a chance for someone to stop him, for the police to get there sooner.
For a crazy guy, he was very methodical. He left the smaller clips behind and took the 30-round clips. Left
it's
the
so horrible. Yeah. And, you know, the NRA is now disavowing them, saying we have nothing to do with him. He was not a member, even though they had NRA certificates and manuals in their house. The NRA is disowning him. And I think it's wrong, because the NRA, if he was alive, they'd be the ones fighting for Adam Lanza to still own an arsenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And last night on the show, Elaine Boozler said to me, stop saying his name. But I'm not going to stop saying his name. This is not like the guy who killed John Lennon, who did it for fame. I'm going to say Adam Lanza's name to equate it to the NRA as much as possible, because I would like his tortured face to be the face of this lobbying movement, because they sure as hell don't represent the people who pay their dues there.
Leonard in Chicago, you're on with the My Personal Comedy Jesus. Hello, Leonard.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, go ahead.
The point that I wanted to make was homophobes, the bottom line for their bigotry is that, and I'm sorry, I'm nervous.
That's all right.
That's okay. You're awesome.
The bottom line for that bigotry is that gay people choose to be that way.
Right.
And, of course, they use the Bible to prove that, Leviticus, you know, mostly.
Right.
And
which no one follows.
There's a verse in the New Testament, Matthew 19, verse 12, and to put it in context, Jesus and the disciples are talking about marriage. And Jesus says, for there are eunuchs who are born that way from their mother's womb.
Yep. Yes. You got it. Some men are born eunuchs, some are made eunuchs by men, and some become eunuchs. And a eunuch in that time didn't necessarily mean a person had been castrated.
Right.
A eunuch meant the guy you felt safe leaving your wife and kids around. That was the eunuch. No,
I know.
Look at ancient Rome. Like, that was the one you could leave your women with and your daughters and know they weren't going to be interfered. And Jesus was saying some come out of the womb like that. So, and Matthew 19, as your caller mentioned, is the verse I mentioned earlier, where they try to say that Jesus was anti-gay marriage, because that's where he says male and female he made them. And what he's doing there was saying that marriage was supposed to be for life. So back then, under the Deuteronomy laws, you could cast your wife out if you no longer delighted in her. You get bored of her, kick her to the curb. And Jesus is saying in there, if you do that to your wife, and then you remarry, you've made your wife an adulterer, made yourself an adulterer. He wasn't being anti-gay, he was being pro-woman and pro-family.
Yeah.
And it's great to see people waking up and realizing what the guy really talked about, because whether he existed or not, he was not a douchebag.
Mary in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, hi, Mary.
Yes. Hi.
Go ahead.
Good. How's everybody doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yesterday, I heard you say something pertaining to justification of eating shrimp with Christians. And I believe I have your answer. It is in the gospel. And it is in Mark.
Oh. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. It's in Mark chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. And this is what I have been, you know, informed of from, you know, different, you know, denominations.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they use is their right to do so. And I'll just paraphrase it or sum it up. It's basically Jesus saying that whatever enters the body from outside of the body can no longer contaminate it. And at the end of that, he makes a reference to meat. So I, you know,
Okay. Well, you want to know what that story is really about? What's going on there? It's the Pharisees, the conservative religious bosses of Jesus' day, saying, hey, your followers are not cleaning food as it's laid out under Mosaic law. You're breaking the law. Jesus turns around and says, hey, do you guys kill children when they disobey? Because that's what's under Mosaic law as well. He's using the laws against them and pointing out that they're hypocrites and that they're following the letter of the law to condemn people rather than the spirit of the law. And that was also Jesus' way of saying, you know, it doesn't matter what you eat. You don't need to follow these specific reasons of cleaning your food.
You know,
so that was him again being a rebel.
Being that it's Good Friday, John, I've still can't recall why we weren't allowed to eat meat on Fridays. Do you know the answer to that?
It's about sacrifice.
And then they rescinded that law as well.
Well, no, I mean, you can still do it. I mean, you know, some folks wouldn't try to eat no meat during Lent, but it's about sacrifice. It's about giving something up.
Oh.
But you know, I mean, considering how processed meat is, you should think about giving it up more.
No, but it was more than that. They said you were going to go to hell, didn't they? It was like a menial sin.
Everyone has their own superstitions. It came out of poverty. It came out of an era where meat was very precious, and to give up meat for a day was a real sacrifice.
This is a symbolic thing of, you know.
I just remember going to a fish fry every Friday.
Yeah, go to
Friday.
Well, exactly.
Have a filet-o-fish instead.
Yeah.
You know, it was well-intentioned. It was about giving something up.
Yeah.
You know, in reality, I mean, you do it for your colon. Just don't eat meat more days a week.
No more meat on Tuesday.
That's Catholic colon blow.
No more meat on Tuesday.
Thank you.
Catholic colon blow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris.
You're
I have that imagery in my head.
So speaking of all this, social conservatives ready to turn on John Roberts. Uh-oh, because of right?
Yeah.
Social conservatives increasingly skeptical that John Roberts will vote their way on Prop 8 in DOMA. They're ready to turn on him if he does not because of the president's health care law, of his ruling on that. Tony Perkins, Jim.
No, mother blood, no!
No, not that one.
No. Other guy, family okay, thing, right. Research council, something.
He's less scary.
He said, I certainly think his credentials were tarnished with the Obamacare decision. Does he care about his standing with conservatives? I don't know. That's not his job, is it? It's his job to rule on the law.
It's great when they're that open about it.
Conservatives are going to hate him no matter what he does.
It's... They are.
Gary Bauer, Jim.
You know, they're never going to hate him like they hated Souter.
That's true.
Gary Bauer, the president, I love this, he's the president of American Values. He's in charge of all of them?
All of them.
Yes.
Really?
American
he's the
values.
Head of American Values.
Yes, Gary
as
Bauer.
Defined
so if you
by
got
Gary,
a moral question.
American Values is defined by Gary Bauer.
Yeah, check with him if you had a question about anything. He's in charge of it.
The incredibly heterosexual Gary Bauer.
Right.
I tell you, if that crumb is fresh enough to eat.
The Stephanie Miller Show has no information as to whether Gary Bauer eats corpses.
Never.
Fresh
or
not.
Patrick, I need Atlantis or Transit.
He said if Roberts doesn't vote with other conservative justices on another major issue, then I think the whole understanding of the current makeup of the Supreme Court would be in question.
Oh, you don't say, really?
Whatever.
Great. Finally, thank you, John Roberts. Finally, you have one reason for the conservatives to blame Bush.
The Supreme Court wears makeup? What?
Hey.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
I'm down with OPP.
I don't know what it means, but I'm down with it.
Oh, you know what it means.
Oh, you don't want to know what it means.
I don't.
It means no.
No, I don't.
I'll tell you when you're older.
Please. Okay.
Okay.
Can I watch cartoons, Daddy?
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sexy liberal John Fuglesang in the New York Bureau. You can watch him every night doing a fabulous job hosting Viewpoint on the current television network. And then
you
can see him live on the stage with Hal Sparks and I, April 13th, Chicago Theater. You know, that barn's almost sold out, John Fuglesang.
Is it really? You don't say.
Getting there. Very close. Very exciting.
I guess I should say I'm going to be in Stowe, Vermont this weekend, working out my set for Sexy Liberal. I'll be playing with Will Durst and Lee Camp somewhere in Stowe doing a Laughing Liberally show tomorrow night. And I'll post it on my social media because I don't know where it is.
Okay. Go to somewhere.
Yeah.
Probably work that
figure
out,
it out
before tomorrow.
Well, Stowe, Vermont is a small enough town where I'm sure you'd...
If you don't know, then you're nobody in Stowe. Milo in Oregon, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with John. Hello, Milo.
Good morning. I read a piece in the New Yorker the other day about Gloria Steinem, in which she is quoted as saying that the weight of Donald Trump's toupee is deteriorating his brain.
Hi!
And I am confused because I had understood that he had a handful of hair about 3 feet long.
Yeah.
Which he curled around on top of his head with the aid of shellac or varnish or something.
Right. Right.
Can you help me out on that?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Anytime the wind blows, you see him. Yeah.
Someone sends me a different picture almost every day of Donald Trump in the wind, and they're all equally hilarious.
My dad used to have that one hair that he would wrap around his head. When he'd go swimming, it would just kind of all flop down.
It's not fooling anyone.
No.
Exactly. We're just, this is a public service.
He's just paying his dues to be a complete joke in his old age. And a bitter one, too.
Huge joke. Huge.
So we were talking about did you read the RNC autopsy, John?
Yes, I did read it. Yes, and he makes some good points, actually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Newt Gingrich sometimes makes sense, which is odd. He said, if it becomes how clever we can be in vilifying Hillary Clinton, that's a party that will not win in 2016.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. And then he went on to say some crazy stuff.
Thank God.
I can't wait to see a debate between Sarah Palin and Hillary Clinton.
You will never see that debate. That will never happen. Sarah Palin's not going to run for office. Her job now is to be a Republican kingmaker and then try to find a way to make a buck off it. And that's what the Super PAC's about. I'd love to see her run. She should have run last year. She would have lost, but it would have helped keep her career going a little bit longer because comedians love Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Newt Gingrich, frankly.
Frankly.
Thank you.
Frankly.
Jim, we've been talking all morning about how Republicans want to privatize everything, including the post office and yada yada. On future moon missions, for instance, Gingrich contends private contractors can do the job for 10 to 20% of what it would cost the government.
Sure. And maybe you'll get 20% of the way to the moon before you go horribly off course.
Yeah. John Edwards destroyed his career by cheating on a cancer-stricken wife, and Newt Gingrich is a celebrity.
Yeah. Taxpayers, he said, spend too much, for instance, on kidney dialysis.
Huh?
So there should be research into regenerating cells that would enable patients to grow their own kidneys.
Well, sure, that's a neat idea.
Okay.
But
why aren't you launching your own, missions to the moon and growing your own kidneys?
You should just put kidney beans in there, frankly, instead of natural kidneys. Much cheaper.
Oh, this would have been way too much fun. Gawker brings us the story. Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum could have been America's co-president.
What? Huh?
Oh, let's see. Blah, 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 blah.
Like president, vice president kind of thing?
Yeah. They engaged in talks about combining their campaigns into a unity ticket at one point during the highly entertaining primary.
Wow.
Gawker says, what if the two most absurd and most widely loathed candidates in last year's Republican presidential primaries had joined forces to win the White House? It would have been a unity ticket. They collapsed. Yeah. The talks collapsed in acrimony because they couldn't decide who gets to be president. And who was
Well, you know what, guys? Go for it again, please, in 2016.
Yeah.
Please go for your unity ticket again.
If my aunt had a unit, she'd be my uncle.
There you go. Thanks, Jim.
Wow. It's like when Godzilla joined up with Mothra to make a terrible film. That's what that is.
Well, this should scare us. A prominent group of Republicans has formed America Rising. Sounds like some sort of Republican psyops.
Wow. Yeah, well, it's the 15-year anniversary of Viagra this weekend.
Right.
Hey.
And it's the 15-year anniversary of guys denying they take Viagra this week.
It's a company that will have a companion super political action committee that can raise unlimited contributions without having to disclose donors. They'll provide video tracking, opposition research, and rapid response for campaign committees, super PACs, and individual candidates. America
Sweet.
Rising.
Great.
All right.
That's another way to throw your money away by donating to Republicans.
Exactly.
It's just the list never run out. It's just amazing. It's like, why would you give your money to the GOP at this point? Fear is the only reason. There's nothing else.
Think,
their policies have all failed. They're not helping the middle class. They want your sister to bear her rapist baby. They want your taxes to bail out the guy who ripped you off and sold you a mortgage you couldn't afford. There's no reason to vote for these guys anymore other than fear of gays and fear of guns.
Does Carl Rove really have the balls to call the same donors again? Did they just answer and go, really?
I think Karl Rove will. I think Karl Rove will draw a contrast between what the Tea Party's selling and what he's selling, and the money guys are going to realize that he's the right option. When in reality, the best Republicans you've got right now are Democrats.
Stacy in Atlanta, you're on with John. Go ahead, Stace.
Hello, hey, how you doing? My name is Stacy, and I have a quick question. My question is, where do liberals get their code of ethics and morality from? Because from everything I hear from all the liberals,
Karl Marx.
They don't like God. They don't like
Book of Satan. Everything's Satan. Didn't you know that? All liberals think exactly the same, and all they want to do is tear down good, decent people who are right about everything, like you.
You know, not all conservatives believe in God.
I agree. But could I say this? Sure. For liberals, it seems that everything is an individual decision of what is right or what is wrong, and there is no real sense of any right and wrong.
No.
Really?
No good.
No,
no.
Are you
no,
going to get specific,
Stacey, no,
sir?
No liberal actually believes in right and wrong. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I'm right. Actually, oh. Now, you believe okay. in it in your own personal way, but there is no real life right.
Are we
going to
get
specific?
Is this conversation going to get specific at all? No, no. Any specifics at all, Stacey? Anything specific from you or just the insults?
I can give you this whole show where you basically made fun
specifics.
Of all of the tenets
specifics.
And the rights and the wrongs of the Bible. Do you agree?
No. Where did I make? Hang on, pal. Where did I make one? Where did I make fun of anything in the Bible? You tell me one specific thing I said that mocked the Bible.
I can tell you where I'm listening to all of you talk about it like it's a joke. Well, let
you're
me
not
know.
Answering
no,
the question.
No,
no, no.
Specifically.
Specifically.
What did he say specifically?
In the Bible.
Oh,
what
these guys, man. You bore me, man. You
yes,
bore
no,
me.
You
give me.
It.
I mocked hypocrites. I did not mock the Bible.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of the back of the shock. Stephanie, can you upgrade to some trolls who can actually make a point once in a while? Can you get a higher caliber of loser to harass
Well, you
your
would
show?
Think that was wrong of me to take that call because you have no sense of
right
and wrong.
Wrong.
You
I love it, man.
Communist.
I love it. Please, I'm a comedian. I hate being heckled. I have no idea how to handle it. Don't do it.
Love you, John Fugel saying.
Have a great weekend, kids.
Right.
Happy Easter.
You
right
too.
On. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. What?
What?
Happy Friday, everybody. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Good Friday. Happy Easter weekend, everybody.
Yeah.
Excellent Friday. Have you shopped for your Easter bonnet yet?
Okay, I got to ask, pro peeps or anti peeps?
Oh, I am anti peeps.
I am anti peeps.
Disgusting.
They're
not
gross.
Edible.
No, they're not. No. Oh, wow. We're all in agreement.
They get stale the minute you open the package.
Right?
Some kind of industrial waste product with coloring.
You're not exposed to air.
Yeah.
Stephanie
yeah.
Miller Show deciding all the important issues facing
That's
America.
That's right.
Oh, by the way, cancel the peep sponsorship.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Thanks,
sorry.
Jackie.
Great. But Reese's peanut
this
butter
hour,
eggs.
This hour, not.
Yeah, there we go.
That's Can we get the show sponsored by Reese's peanut butter eggs?
This hour not brought to you by Peeps.
Jack, not anymore.
All right, I don't know what all y'all are doing this weekend, but do not cancel a restaurant reservation or not show up at a restaurant reservation here in L.A.
That's right. Did you hear about this?
A top L.A. restaurant has turned to Twitter to name no-show holds who don't honor their reservations. Red Medicine, it's a shishi eatery here in Beverly Hills.
Vietnamese food, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
After losing a bunch of prime tables to no-shows on Saturday, the owner took to Twitter to express his frustration, where he proceeded to tweet out the names of those who booked a table for rush hour and then never bothered to come or cancel. L.A. people, flaky, just saying.
You
flaky.
Know what's not good
Impossible
for
to plan a party here.
People come to your
well,
party.
Well, that's because you demand that people RSVP as
immediately
soon as you send the invitation.
I'm relentless.
You are.
I am a one woman. I am combating the flakiness of L.A.
Yeah, but
a
she's
one
also
woman.
The queen of the last minute invite.
This is true.
Like, by the way, in 3 hours, my house, who's in?
Who's in?
Yeah. It's like, what? You know you do that, right?
Well, you're my paid friends. You have to show up. All right. Speaking of L.A. Hollywood stories, Harrison Ford isn't ready yet to talk about his reported part in Disney's planned Star Wars sequel, but he praises its director, J.J. Abrams. Asked how he feels generally that the Star Wars sequel and Disney spinoffs are in the work, he responded, "I don't feel anything at the moment yet."
Huh. Okay.
Oh, all right, fine.
There have been rumors that I'm not excited about the possibility of starring in the next Star Wars sequel. Nothing could be further from the truth. I'm thrilled. Can you tell from the sound of my voice how thrilled I am? The fact that people question my enthusiasm makes me angry. Very angry. Very, very angry. Dirty Harry Reid angry. I'm livid. I'm sorry you had to see me like this. I apologize for any emotional trauma I may have caused with my rage-filled diatribe. Don't you start. Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Wow.
I think Jackie liked that.
He's going to have the lead in the Harold Reed story. Snakes.
Okay. Why do they have to be snakes?
Ben in the
he doesn't have much range,
no.
Does he? No.
He covers the range of emotions from A to B.
Yes.
Ben in Atlanta. Hello, Ben.
Good morning. I wanted to respond to Stacy. I wanted to let him know that I am a liberal because I'm a Christian. I have attended very fundamental Christian universities and colleges and graduate schools, and I take Jesus at his word in the Gospels.
Yeah. Well, Jesus was kind of a hippie liberal, wasn't he?
Yeah, he said a lot of hippie liberal things.
He sure did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Travis has just alerted me to something called peep jousting in the microwave.
Oh, no. What's happening? What's happening?
Travis, get in here and explain this to us.
Peep jousting?
In the microwave.
You know what? No matter where you fall on the peep debate,
you probably put them in the microwave and let them explode.
Right.
No matter where you fall.
Get on the microphone.
Pro or anti-peep. That's just wrong.
You've
Hi,
never
Travis.
Peep jousting?
No.
So you put two peeps in the microwave and you face them against each other and you put a toothpick in each one. And you turn the microwave on, they heat up and they expand, and one of them pops the other one.
Oh, wow.
That's just
for
wrong.
For people who have nothing to do.
Wow.
People with entirely too much free
this
time.
This is how we celebrate Easter in Fresno.
Really? No, that does not surprise me. Thank
other
you,
things
Travis.
To do in Fresno.
All right. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Travis.
Thanks, Travis.
Write a book on it. I had things to do while in Fresno.
I had to find out what that
Why
was.
Why did I know that that's like the most exciting thing happening in Fresno? Hey!
Get up in the microwave! The pizza's ready to throw down! Happy Easter.
God.
Actually, have you seen where they do the Washington Post contest with the peeps? They do, every year they do events where people stage, like it was like Occupeep Wall Street and things like that every year.
Occupeep.
Yeah, they do like peep recreations of current events every year and somebody wins.
It's cute.
Very cute. They put them up on WashingtonPost.com.
Okay, let's go to Brian in South Carolina. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, first of all, let me say this, that I watch the show a good bit, even though I don't vote Democrat, but I do watch the show. I enjoy it.
Thank you.
When I'm home from work, I'm a born-again Southern Baptist. I believe 100% in the Bible, and I do believe that gay marriage is a sin. Mm. However, I also believe that I am a sinner. And that I will go to heaven by the grace of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. And I cannot judge other people whether they're not harming anybody else or not as to whether their lifestyle is right or not. I don't believe the government should be able to judge and say, hey, look, because you choose to live this lifestyle, you're wrong. And I don't believe that as Christians we should say, hey, because you choose to live this lifestyle, you're going to hell.
What do you make of it? Okay, but people don't choose to live this lifestyle.
They don't choose to be left-handed either.
No, they don't. They don't. And they don't choose to be black. And I'm very, you know, as far as I've read some reports, I teach a, I have a master's degree in a science field and teach a science. And I, you know, I'm kind of, okay, it's a genetic thing. I can see some points to whether it's a gene. Some cases I see where it's a choice. Either way, to me, it really doesn't matter.
But then God made a mistake if he made gay people? I mean, I'm confused. How can you believe that
God made us all sinners, is what I'm saying. And
so you mean all gay people are going to go to hell by virtue?
Well, no. What he's saying is that everybody's a sinner.
Right.
I'm saying everybody's a sinner.
Right.
I'm saying that we shouldn't, as Christians.
He's saying we shouldn't judge anybody.
Right, but how could it be a sin to be born a certain way?
Because I think we're all born sinners.
Oh,
I think
I
gay lifestyle is a choice, but I think we're all born sinners. But I don't think we should judge those people. I think we should say, hey, you know, you're just like us. You know, there's no, you know, we're sinners too. And if, you know, we should, instead of going out and holding signs up in front of churches and everything, or in front of, demonstrating and everything.
See, but Brian, I understand, like, some Christians, like you, preach tolerance, but you understand that gay people don't wish to be tolerated. That would be like a red haired person saying, thank you for tolerating my red hair. I mean,
I can't.
I understand what you're saying there. I mean, as far as I'm saying, that we should all love each other as humans.
When did you choose to be attracted to women?
When did I, as far as my lifestyle? You know,
oh, no, just as far as you as a person. When did you choose to be attracted to women?
Well, I guess about 8-7 when I discovered.
So you chose to be attracted to women over men?
No.
Okay, then what makes you think it's the same thing for gay people?
As far as people choosing?
No, as far as your attraction, their attraction.
As far as their attraction?
Mm-hmm.
I just think that it is. I think that, you know, that people choose and
so you, know, so you chose.
You think so.
So you chose to be attracted to women. Okay, now that we've established that.
All right. Over All right. All right. Thank you, Brian. Happy Easter. All right.
I choose not to talk to people like that.
That's the choice I just made. Just I chose that I'd had enough. Okay, the president asking for prayers for Nelson Mandela yesterday.
Okay.
President Obama yesterday. Here he is, President Obama yesterday.
Obviously, we're all deeply concerned with Nelson Mandela's health. He's a hero, I think, to all of us. I'm sure that I speak for the other leaders here. You know, we will be keeping him in our thoughts and prayers and his entire family. You know, he is as strong physically as he's been in character and in leadership over so many decades. And hopefully he will come out of this latest challenge. But we all recognize that he has given everything to his people, the people of South Africa, to the people of the continent, and he's ended up being an inspiration to all of us. When you think of a single individual that embodies the kind of leadership qualities that I think we all aspire to, the first name that comes up is Nelson Mandela, and so we wish him all the very best.
Yeah, and apparently he's responding well in his second day of being in the hospital.
Okay.
So.
And you know what we all could do for Nelson Mandela is stop comparing ourselves to him. Talking to you, Sarah Palin, talking to you.
Yeah.
Really? Nelson Mandela?
Seriously?
Really? Okay. Tiffany in Pensacola, Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tiff.
Hi, Miss Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I almost got kicked out of my own church the other night because, to me, at the end of the day, if you profess to be an American and to be a Christian, if people want to make a decision to love a man or love a woman, despite if they're a man or a woman, and they want to commit themselves to that person, then that's their human right. That is their inalienable right to do that. Just 50 years ago, my husband is Caucasian. I'm African American. Just 50 years ago,
yep.
The same people who are saying horrific things now said that it was a sin for me and my husband to be together.
Yeah.
They said that our children would be just that our marriage would destroy the fabric of society.
And guess what?
Children would be lost.
And guess what they cited, Tiffany? The Bible, right?
Yeah, they cited the Bible. And these same individuals, and this is what kills me as a Christian, this is what kills me about the right. They sit up there and they say, it's not my right to choose as a woman to have an abortion. But at the same time, they can't tell somebody that they cannot have a semi-automatic weapon. I'm in the military. I've been back from Afghanistan for 6 months, and I prayed every day that I did not have to pull my weapon out and kill someone. And now all people want to do is talk about my right to protect myself, my right to kill somebody. Well, if you're a Christian, the last thing you want to do is kill somebody.
Yep.
That is something that's heartbreaking. You know, it just boggles my mind. And I'm going to say this. I'm a triple threat because I'm sexy, I'm a liberal, and I'm a Christian. And I know at the end of the day, I'm going to be with Jesus. And his decision is going to be between him and that individual. And he is going to ask several things. Did you care for me when I was sick? Did you care for me when I had no clothes? Mm-hmm. Did you visit me in prison? And I want to ask those folks on the right, especially those of Congress, when was the last time you went and washed someone's feet in a detention center?
There
when
you
was
go.
The last time you took in a child who had no father, who had no mother? When was the last time that you truly loved your neighbor? When was the last time you went to Mexico?
Go on.
Got into a van crowded with a whole bunch of people trying to go somewhere to live a better life and risk your life and your child.
Tiffany, you testify on Easter weekend. Just do it. God bless you. God bless
you. Oh, love you, Tiffany. Wow.
Ooh, all right.
I could never do that. I was in the Cayman Islands visiting my money, which is just the right height. He right. laughs authentically.
19 minutes. You're not supposed to read that part. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, I like her.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Party, dance everybody, make it hot in this party. Don't stop, move your body. Rock this party, dance everybody, make it hot in this party.
I wish I could sing like that.
Yeah! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. It's just kind of shouting to music, isn't it?
Yeah!
Yeah!
What's your point?
Rock
at this party!
This party. All right, 1-800-STEP-1-2.
What do you think Taylor Dane did? Okay, then. I rest my case.
Do not go near my Great Dane. All right. You know what? You know what's distracting us? Because it's Friday. We haven't had a lot of sleep. And someone just said, it's a video of a monkey taking a bath. Baby monkey taking a bath.
I can't put it on your Facebook page, though, because it's a GIF. It's an animated GIF, and they don't...
Splish, splash, monkey taking a bath. Okay. See? Very easily.
Stephanie Miller.
Right.
That was Taylor Dane. She was shouting.
Yeah, let me hear your body rock.
All right.
Okay, Jason in Washington. Prove your love, Jackie Shatner. Let's go. Come on. Jason in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jason.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I thought it's important that, you know, you were talking about that congressman who suddenly changed his mind, you know, about his...
Senator Rob Portman, right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, shouldn't we be intellectually honest and slam on Obama also? Because his thing was exactly the same thing. He has not been advocating this for his entire political career.
Right. He said that he's evolved on the issue. Right.
I feel like
that's different than what our point about Rob Portman is that his son came out 2 years ago. I mean, people just feel suspicious that the timing, now that the polling has completely changed and all of that, that now he's come out.
We shouldn't fool ourselves as progressives by going, oh, well, Obama and Hillary have always been on board with this. These guys have been dragging their feet. And isn't a political leader a person that comes out and does things without a poll group? Because, you know, you said it earlier, Obama only changed his mind because of poll groups.
We have gotten more accomplished under this president on LGBT rights than on every other president combined.
I'll take any movement at all rather than, you know.
I mean, I take your point that, you know, it takes courage to come out when you're that far ahead of the curve. Right. But
I also like leaders like Obama to stay in office, you know, when there's an election coming up. And if it's... You know, if he has to make a temporary sacrifice by saying he's not for gay marriage.
Even the speech he gave, that was way ahead of its time. The gay friends in the red states. And
I'm more concerned about the pipeline.
Mark in Livermore, California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
First, Jim, my boyfriend loves you in Guild Wars 2.
Thank you.
In what?
My boyfriend loves your voice in Guild Wars
2. Oh, thanks.
Oh,
Jim Ward, yes. Go ahead.
So come back to Harry Reid. I've never understood how he became the Senate Majority Leader in the first place, other than perhaps seniority, because he is such a coward when it comes to legislation. The Democrats will support a piece of legislation for a certain amount of time, and then you know, when the heat's on, he backs off completely. Especially when the thing that got me the most was when the Democrats took over in 2006 and the warrantless wiretapping legislation came up, a number of Democrats were going to filibuster that legislation, and he went after them in a way that he has never gone after Republicans when they've threatened filibuster. He was he threatened them with sanctions and a variety of actions if they tried to filibuster yeah. that kind of egregious legislation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not currently at this moment the biggest Terry Reid fan between filibuster reform and the gun stuff, but we were talking earlier about the Adam Lanza,
mm-hmm.
What they found, and I mean, this really, when they use the word arsenal, this is
that's it
on the money on this one. He had accumulated an arsenal that included pistols, rifles, revolvers, shotguns, swords, knives, and other cutting instruments. The documents also stated his rampage took no longer than 5 minutes. Just these numbers, 5 minutes from the time he got into the school and he killed himself. Mm-hmm. 154 spent bullet casings were found. And then we mentioned this yesterday, a recovered holiday card from Nancy Lanza to Adam contained a Bank of America check made out to him for the purchase of a firearm. Oy vey. Legal gun owners, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Val Kilmer next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Corner, weighing in at 130 pounds, it's the Ovarian Barbarian and the breast of all time. Let's put our hands together for
Stephanie Miller.
Does not weigh that much.
I was going to say, that's not even close to what you weigh.
I do like your nickname, the Ovarian Barbarian.
That's me.
Yeah.
34 minutes.
Ovaries are dusty.
You don't know.
Yeah, I do.
You do not.
I think I just spit peanuts all over the studio.
See, that's why I had to bring estrogen into the fort this week.
Uh-huh.
Icky boys. All right.
They're grody.
We have cooties.
We have cooties.
By the way, Jackie
has been getting some peep tweets, and there was a peep fun fact we did not know on Easter weekend.
Okay.
Oh, that apparently not all peeps taste the same, that the pink peeps are more sugary than regular peeps, to which I said, did someone once taste a peep and say, you know what this needs?
More sugar.
More sugar.
Huh.
Not quite sugary enough.
Who knew?
Let's sprinkle some more on top as well. Let's encrust it with sugar.
Would you like to roll it in sugar? Powdered sugar on your peep.
Joe in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Thanks. One thing I'd like to point out, just technical, because I know you guys always want to be accurate.
Oh,
those
yes.
Those NRA certificates in the House had nothing to do with membership.
The Lanzas.
Yeah, there's millions of those around the country. Most people that get hunting licenses or other stuff take these safety courses that are
right.
sponsored by the NRA, and they have these NRA stamps on it. So
it's like a participation ribbon.
That those had nothing to right. do with NRA membership.
Right.
You guys have been trying to imply that he would have been a member. Well, maybe he would have been a member.
No, I didn't imply that.
No, I think we just reported that
just
was found.
Yeah. We report, you decide. I just made that up right now.
Dude.
All right.
We should copyright that.
All right. We've been on Twitter all morning. Why? Because Val Kilmer, this is, first of all, dreamy. Wonderful actor. We were discussing various, you know.
Yeah, The Doors. Oh, my God. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sorry. Jackie and I were stuck on Top Gun.
Oh, okay.
Right, Top Gun.
Right.
Okay. But look at this picture of him as Mark Twain
That's
in
amazing.
A stage play.
Yeah.
And he joins us now. Good morning, Val.
Good morning.
It's so nice to meet you.
We report it, you decide.
That's right. Thank you.
But if you deliver it with some real 1950s spunk... We report it, you decide. How can you fail?
See, now you're going into Zucker film comedy mode. You are so versatile. I love your work. You're just, everybody has a favorite, right?
Thank you so much.
Tombstone, The Doors, Batman. I mean, it just, and this, I just this picture of you, I was like, that's Val Kilmer? You are unrecognizable as Mark Twain.
Well, I've got a lot of makeup on my face.
Yes, I understand
that.
I understand.
So that's one of the things there. But it is weird. I do have the right structure underneath to put on a gigantic schnoz. he's got a crazy face. That's why he had that big crazy hairdo and the giant mustache, because his nose was as long as the Mississippi. Isn't he a great face, though?
That is.
Great character.
It is. But this show sounds like so much fun. You present it in the style of a conversation with the audience, right?
I do. And it's just growing all the time. I'm having so much fun with it. And the real value of you know, going back and looking at Mark Twain's life or his writing is that he had so much love for America. And it didn't matter what size American, you know, he loved everybody equally. And it's very clear in his writings, because you can't have all those voices so clearly written and so entertainingly presented without listening to people. And that, to me, is a big part of, obviously, it's a big part of your day.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean,
nobody listens, then, you know. But it is what I'm finding really, really a satisfying part of the evening is to have a dialogue with the audience after the show, because people are inspired by Twain's observations. For me, particularly, it's that his way of being non-judgmental, and even though he's very cynical and funny about pretty much everything, the value of looking at his life and having an evening in the theater is that he reminds us that we're all crazy and we've all got a long way to go, and it's better to laugh about a situation than do the same old routine. My brother's a psychologist, and he says, so you guys have been arguing now for, 3 years? How's that working out for you?
Yeah.
You know, our stance about non-communication today is unfortunately not a new thing we face. But
well, what do you think he would think of the state of today's political debate and Congress in general?
Wouldn't be surprised at all. And he says so many things that are so vivid and true, because, you know, at the core, I think it's, he said of himself once, I'm not an American, I am the American. And I think it's really true. He's a definitive narrator of our thoughts and even our soul. He really understands perfectly what it means to be an American. And that's a kind of sense of freedom and that impish side. We're a young country like Huckleberry Finn. We want to jump out the window in school, or if we're inside too long. And his kind of style of presenting some very serious subjects, like, you know, what do you say about Congress? It's in my play. Congress, I've never seen a body of men with the tongue so handy and information so uncertain. They can talk for a week without getting rid of an idea.
I understand that you cover the topics of God, racism, and cats in the show. Well, give us some of Mark Twain's thoughts on those subjects.
Well, here's one cat. He's dead, by the way.
Yes. I understand that.
He's dead in my play.
Okay.
Which he keeps forgetting.
Oh.
He says, I forget I'm dead. I recognize it, but I don't realize it. So he's talking about a lot. He gets kind of caught up, as we all do, in things that aren't really happening right now. You know, we live in a lot of delusion and fantasy in today's world, especially in the outward sense, all the sort of manifestations of storytelling or entertainment that gets presented as news. So he's daydreaming about being with his family. I like telling stories to my children by the fire. I miss my cats. I like cats. They're quieter than children. But if you pick up a cat by the tail, you learn something about life you cannot learn in any other way.
That's hilarious.
I love this take on
you guys. Are good laughers. Will you please come see my play?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, in fact, if we were, it would be at the Valley Performing Arts Center Saturday, April 6th, mm-hmm. just in case.
Right.
And then you're off around the country to Dallas and Arizona and all that. We have a link up on our website. I mean, it just sounds like such fun. You know, you would describe it as your performance is fluid, somewhat freeform. It's part of the fun. It's a comedy and a character study. So it's and you also see the person who first person who talked the way we do, Mark Twain.
Yeah, there was a style, you know, in his day of presenting thoughts. If you were a preacher or a school teacher, a politician, there was a particular way that you talk that still carried into, like I was goofing, even into the 50s and 60s, you still hear a little bit of, like Ted Koppel's, it's sort of a, there's an actual way of speaking that is taught, that's sort of the, back then, the legitimate way. Just in the same with acting, there was a style that was considered to be proper.
I'm Ted Koppel, and this is my own hair.
he just disregarded all the rules, and he stood up on stage, and he smoked constantly, so he had a cigar, and you know, if he wanted to drink that night, he had a drink in his hand, and he just told stories like he was in your living room or in a bar.
You know, a lot of talk this week about God, of course, because of the in the marriage equality debate. What were his thoughts on God?
Well, he's so funny about God and religion that he's often called an agnostic or an atheist, and I don't believe he was either. I think there's substantial evidence in his notes and one thing, like he says, I've always preached, if the humor came of its own accord, I've allowed it a place in my sermon, but I was not writing the sermon for the sake of the humor. And it's really true, I believe. Yeah. I think he couldn't find a religion that he could embrace because he just couldn't help looking for the flaw or the humor in any kind of human organization. And there's a lot of humor and flaws available in religions, or any organized human endeavor. He was, I would say, I think it's a fair word, he was obsessed with Mary Baker Eddy the last 10 years or so of his life. And that's a little bit in the play. And I the play started because I've written a movie about both of them. Wow. And she founded a religion, and he was very interested in it. And she's the only person that he wrote a book about, which is a pretty clear indication of how devoted his interest was.
My ex-wife used to teach at Berkeley Hall, by the way.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if that's an answer, but I think he yearned, like we all do, for a sense of unity and peace. And he said some amazingly eloquent, beautiful thoughts about spirituality and God. I don't think they're just not usually quoted because all the other stuff is so funny. Like, God created man. This proves he has a sense of humor. or else he was tired.
Val, great stuff. And honestly, what a thrill to meet you. Just, I've been a fan ever since Top Gun. So thrilled that the Iceman has cometh on my show. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I made that show.
Wow.
Yes, I did.
That's a very dreamy thought.
Yes. There's a link up at StephanieMiller.com. Go see Val Kilmer in Citizen Twain.
Yep.
It looks amazing. We're going to come out and see you. Val, thanks so much.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Yeah. Wow.
The Iceman cometh on the show.
I'm sure he's never heard that before.
Yeah, he didn't exactly conjugate that.
No, it's all right. There's no way to conjugate it.
No.
He cameth now. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back with Jackie's Healthcare Corner next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
Put my beard!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Easter weekend. 50 Happy Pesach. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Need a lozenge?
Fine. I need a TheraBreath. Thank you. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. It's time for Jack's Healthcare Corner.
Hoot!
Yeah, because, you know, Jack, obviously a lot of the headlines make you go,
daily.
Yes. A new study finds insurance companies will have to pay out an average of 32% more for medical claims under President Obama's health care overhaul. What does that mean for you? It could increase premiums for at least some Americans. Administration is questioning the study, saying it doesn't give a full picture and costs will go down. The study claims costs will go up largely because sicker people will join the insurance pool, as we've talked about. That's because the law forbids insurers from turning down people with pre-existing conditions. So do we have reason to be afeared?
We don't have reason to be afeared. No, I mean, the whole situation is we're reforming a system and we're trying to get everybody into the pool. And there were two things we were trying to do with healthcare reform was get more
everyone into the pool.
Adult Swim.
Splash. It's to get more people covered and also to bring down cost.
Right.
And I think we're going to do well with getting people covered. The bringing down cost is going to be a little problematic, I think, because while we are putting more people in and we're spreading out the cost, at the same time you're dealing with a for-profit industry.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have this soaring healthcare cost problem on every level. I mean, everything from medical devices to hospitals to some doctors to the way that we bill overall for tests and we try to generate more revenue that way. I mean, there's a lot of problems within our system fundamentally. So what's happening is they're trying, the Obama administration had put into the law, the Congress had put into the law the idea that we would mitigate some of the added cost of adding people with pre-existing conditions, sort of the sicker people, adding sicker people to the pool. But it's not clear yet how these exchanges are going to work and the fact that when we are putting more people in, there's going to be more revenue involved. So it's a long way of saying we don't really know the details yet, but I think what the Obama administration would say is that while we work out these details, some of these studies are prematurely, what's the word?
And actuaries are notoriously droopy people.
Yeah. And
they're gloomy.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's premature at this point to know exactly how this is going to affect. But don't discount the fact that the insurance companies have so much control that they can just continue to raise
premiums.
We'll get to go with single payer eventually.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Solution, Medicare for all. The Obama administration challenged the design of the study, saying it focused only on one piece of the puzzle and ignored cost relief strategies in the law, like you were talking about, such as tax credits to help people afford premiums and special payments to insurers who attract an outsized share of the sick.
Right.
So, and then Kathleen Sebelius said some of what passes for health insurance today is so skimpy it can't be compared to the comprehensive coverage available under the law. She said some of these folks who have a very high catastrophic plans that don't pay for anything unless you get hit by a bus. They're really mortgage protection, not health insurance.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I always say is people who argue against health care reform, wait until you need it.
Yeah,
As soon as you need some sort of health care in this country, you think you're protected and you find out you're not.
Right.
And your insurance company wants to argue with you over every little cost, even though you've been paying your premiums on time and you've done everything they've asked you to do.
Right.
People don't read the fine print. And frankly, it's because the fine print is so complicated to read.
Yeah, it's so fine.
Yeah, we call it mice type.
And my plan doesn't cover reading glasses.
Yeah.
And then this story, because we have a particular problem in California. We have Blue Cross Anthem. I mean, I'm like, that's the problem is that they're raising, and you were saying, like, let's put the blame where it belongs on the insurance companies. But this story in the LA Times, while most of us face uncertainty with the rollout of health care reform, some insurance companies in California have been feeling their oats lately. Here's how they're responding to Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones' warnings that their latest rate increases are unreasonable. Stuff it, Dave. That essentially was the response of Blue Shield of California and Anthem Blue Cross after Jones flayed their proposed
premium. Blue Cross?
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Like yes.
Proposed premium hikes up to 20% for Blue Shield customers and up to 18% for Anthem. The company's moved to implement the increases anyway, although Anthem thought better of it after it started charging the higher rates and reduced them a bit. Anthem further said it would start passing on to customers a fee related to the Federal Affordable Care Act this year, which Jones considered unlawful since the government fee doesn't go into effect until next year.
See, why do people blame reform for the insurance company's bad actions?
Right.
They were going to raise rates before. They're going to raise rates as much as they possibly can get away with, no matter what.
But Blue Cross used to be not-for-profit, right?
But non-profit doesn't really mean non-profit in some cases.
Right. But then they have the fancy Anthem signs all over it.
It's a misnomer. There are a lot of non-profit medical organizations that make plenty of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the interesting part of that, which I don't remember if the article mentioned specifically, is that one of the reasons we wanted a national health insurance exchange as opposed to these state exchanges is because the state commissioners don't have enough authority necessarily to regulate the insurance companies.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
sometimes they've been in that position for so long that there's not necessarily illegal coercion of any sort. But sometimes the insurance companies know how to work these guys over.
Yeah,
yeah. And they can get away with a lot.
Our conclusion, insurance companies, douche nozzles.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Douche nozzle.
Yeah. I told you, it's like that special they aired on CNN, and the guy from the insurance from United Healthcare said to Dr. Sanjay Gupta, let's not get distracted by who's making money now.
Let's not get distracted by
who actually killed the
right.
guy.
Right. Let's not focus on anything that might make us look bad.
No.
That's just wrong.
There was no follow up, which I think is extraordinary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you miss the piece in Politico this week about Paul Ryan's disappearing act?
Aww.
Oh, Eddie. Eddie had to go. Where is it?
Wonderful Eddie. I won't go. I won't.
Where'd he go?
You can't leave me. You can't. I'm not going to leave my friends. I'm not.
He seems to.
You can tell me a million times, and I still won't go.
Right. Really? Eddie.
Played the whole thing there.
He seems to have fallen entirely off the radar of early state Republicans. Democrats bring up his name with more zeal than do people in his own party, and his footprint at CPAC was so faint as his being an afterthought was itself an afterthought.
Premium support.
What the heck has happened to Paul Ryan? Just months removed from being on the GOP ticket, he has faded from the national political conversation in a way that's remarkable for a politician possessed with youth, fame, and ambition. Last year's it boy of the graying Republican Party has been bigfooted by the GOP's new twin heartthrobs, Marco Rubio and Rand Paul.
Oh. I don't know that that's necessarily accurate, though, because he just did that big budget speech.
Well,
I mean, he was just on all the Sunday shows talking about his budget.
If there was a Republican tiger beat, I'm just saying he'd be Leif Garrett. Donnie and David Cassidy would be hogging all the publicity. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's a very week-to-week
Leif Garrett
trend,
came after
though.
Donnie Osmond, didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for us. Thank God. Not a
That's how we're ending?
Right.
Yes.
That's it.
And the Leif Garrett reference.
Right.
Could have been Rudy Valley. I mean,
that's
relevant.
I would like to thank, but I probably shouldn't, Chris LeMoy, Jim Warren, T-Bone, and Jackie Schechner. Have a great Easter weekend. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie
Bye.
Miller Show.